On this episode of Sports Illustrated Weekly, the Seattle Mariners have gone 21 years without making the playoffs. It's the longest drought of any team in any of the four major American sports leagues. Our producer and resident Mariners supporter, Cooper McKim, tells us what it's been like for the fans. And later, we tell you about the war that's being waged for control of the fastest growing sport in America, pickleball. But first, Herschel Walker won the Georgia Republican primary for Senate on Tuesday. We take a look at how he became the nominee by fully embracing the MAGA movement and what that says about the power of celebrity and our deeply divided political system. It's Wednesday, May 25th. I'm your host, John Gonzalez. From Sports Illustrated and iHeartRadio, this is Sports Illustrated Weekly. Before we begin, a note that this story contains discussion of gun violence, suicide, and domestic violence. Last night, one of the best running backs in football history won a very important race.
The Associated Press is now projecting that former football star Herschel Walker will win the Republican primary in the race for U.S. Senator for Georgia.
Herschel Walker led Georgia's Republican Senate primary from wire to wire, and his victory sets up a hotly contested general election against incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock. Like much of the GOP these days, Walker has embraced and espoused the MAGA talking points promoted by former President Donald Trump, a man he met and befriended decades ago when both were part of the original USFL. While Walker rails against immigration and critical race theory, and falsely claims that Trump won the 2020 election, he has largely refused to address allegations of domestic violence and other troubling incidents from his past, none of which seems to have bothered the Republican voters who elevated him as their nominee for November. So what does Walker's ascendance tell us about our idolatry of sports and fame, as well as the state of our strained political system? How is it that Walker, a man once celebrated for running the football, ended up running for Senate?
In the 1980 election returns in Greene County, Georgia, Herschel Walker received 3 write-in votes for President of the United States. He was in high school. I'm Curry Kirkpatrick. I was a writer at Sports Illustrated from 1965 out of college to 1992. In 1981, I did a cover story for Sports Illustrated about Herschel Walker. We put him on the cover because the previous football season, as a freshman, he'd led Georgia to the national championship, a 12-0 undefeated season where they beat Notre Dame in the national championship game.
When the Irish scored, old Herschel said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son. But when the junkyard dog give me the ball, I'll show you how it's done. Dogs on the field, now hunker on down."
He got hurt in the national championship game against Notre Dame. He came back out to run for over 100 yards and beat the Irish almost single-handedly. That's how great this guy was as a football player. I still think it's one of the most remarkable seasons in the history of college athletics.
The Irish bowed their heads because they knew that they'd been beat, and they'd laid that national championship on the ground at the Bulldogs' feet. Herschel said, "Irish, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a gun, we're the best that's ever been. Dogs on the field now, hunker on."
His career was all planned out, that Herschel seemed to have a sense of what he was going to be. In other words, he learned to be a hero in high school. And I think Herschel Walker learned to be a hero before he became a football star.
The Georgia Bulldogs have won the Sugar Bowl in their first national championship. It looks like the entire student body, in fact, the entire state of Georgia is on the football field. It's pandemonium down there.
There were many people I talked to then that said he was almost like a politician even back then. And now he's running for the U.S. Senate. We should give all athletes the right to move over into politics, but at that point, we should then hold them to account. And not just for being an athlete, but what they are now, what they've become, what Herschel Walker has become. You're now a politician, and we have to figure out what that means.
control of the U.S. Senate could be hanging in the balance depending on this contest. I'm Greg Bluestein. I'm the political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I'm also the author of a new book called Flipped, How Georgia Turned Purple and Broke the Monopoly on Republican Power. I am from Georgia. I'm a Georgia native, college at University of Georgia.
As it turns out, Greg is also something of a sports fan.
Huge, huge. Big Georgia fan. I went to both the national championship game in Indianapolis, the Orange Bowl, the SEC championship, first time national championship since before I was born.
At the Irish one. Gotta be Walker. Touchdown. The game is over. Georgia has won 17-10.
It was Herschel Walker. It was in the early 80s. And again, it was before I was born. But I grew up hearing stories about Herschel Walker and his athletic feats. And, you know, just the name was synonymous with UGA growing up.
I don't know if people really grasp how big Herschel Walker's star is in Georgia. My name is Tia Mitchell. I'm the Washington correspondent for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Herschel Walker, he's the biggest star to come out of the University of Georgia. He's also a Georgia native. I think there was assumption that he would run in Texas. That's where he was living and has been living for several years.
He's lived in Texas for decades, and yet still has probably almost universal name recognition in Georgia before he moved back here a few months ago. That's the power of Herschel Walker's brand and his image in Georgia right now.
America is so proud of this man, one of the greatest athletes in our country's history, the greatest running back who played at a certain school that you love very much, and he broke every record.
Trump and Walker have known each other since 1984, when Trump bought the USFL team that lured Walker away from Georgia. They've been friends ever since. In his 2008 memoir, Walker wrote that Trump became a mentor to him and even modeled his business practices after him.
They have this very unique bond in a way that I think no other candidate probably has. They are so close.
We've been together for a long time. I want to be a leader like him when I get to that Senate seat to show everyone I love America. Thank you.
I mean, he went to Disney World with Donald Trump's kids. You know, he joked that he babysat them.
Like the former president, Herschel Walker leans more on hyperbole than policy while on the campaign trail. And also like Trump, Walker has been more inclined to ignore troubling allegations against him rather than address them.
In the political world, candidates and their allies hire teams of researchers who do what we call opposition research, and they pour through everything they can possibly find about a candidate. And, you know, and some of it's, you know, minor, and some of it's not so minor.
There's a lot. His oppo book is pretty thick, to be honest. Domestic abuse allegations.
There's been police reports and allegations and court documents that show that he violently assaulted his ex-wife. There is an incident with a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader documented in police reports as well.
You also have his business dealings, and he's been accused of launching businesses that don't perform well or don't pay their bills. And the third part, I think, is the more touchy subject, which is his mental health.
Yeah, on the campaign trail, Herschel Walker is very frank about his mental health struggles. I mean, he says even as a kid, he was picked on, he was bullied, and that's when he got attracted to athletics. That's when he started working out and sticking up for himself. But he says he has struggled with dissociative identity disorder for years. He attributes that to some of the violent and erratic behavior he had, especially during his playing career, especially when it comes to violence against women, women who he's very close to. Herschel Walker hit such a mental health low that he felt compelled to play Russian roulette.
This is Herschel Walker on the Howard Stern Show in 2010.
Let's explain to people if they don't know what Russian roulette is. You take a gun and you put, this is the worst thing you could ever do.
Yes.
You take a bullet and you stick it in one of the six chambers.
And spin the cylinder and put it to your head and pull the trigger.
And how many times did you play
that? I've done that over six times.
In a political campaign where everything is sort of weaponized, that could come back to haunt him as someone who felt so depressed that he was willing to take his own life and now is running to be one of the most powerful politicians in the nation. It's not just about his violent history. This is such a well-known story in Georgia, especially to UGA graduates and fans like myself. But Herschel Walker famously did not graduate from the University of Georgia. He left early to go pro. But his campaign, and even Herschel Walker himself in speeches and even on his campaign website for a time, said he graduated from the University of Georgia. It was such an easily disproven fact. Anyone who follows Georgia football, especially during that era, knew that he didn't graduate. And these are the issues that his rivals will use in the general election campaign to sort of paint this picture of someone who is not to be trusted, who is not a legitimate candidate. His opponent, Raphael Warnock, and his allies are going to make a major deal about whether or not he really has been held to account for some of these past incidents. Raphael Warnock, he's already got more than $26 million in cash on hand. And so what we're watching over the next few weeks is how Senator Warnock and his allies choose to use some of these damaging reports that have already come out. It's so amazing to me what a central role sports has played in Georgia's U.S. Senate contest because, yeah, it was even before Herschel Walker got in the race, Kelly Loeffler was the co-owner of Atlanta's WNBA franchise, The Dream. And amid the Black Lives Matter protests, Kelly Loeffler saw an opening.
Kelly Loeffler surprised people because instead of being the moderate conservative whose brand was, I'm a leader and a tough boss lady, but I'm not gonna scare you off, what her brand became was far-right conservative.
There are calls for U.S. Senator Kelly Loeffler to step away from the Atlanta Dream, the WNBA team she co-owns, after writing a letter opposing players wearing Black Lives Matter and Say Her Name slogans on warm-up jerseys.
They made the strategic decision to write an open letter to the WNBA, and it's triggered this uproar from the WNBA and from her own team's players.
They turned on her. Not only did they say, we don't support what you're saying, they said, vote Warnock. Literally, they wore black shirts with bold white letters that said, vote Warnock. And they wore it to games and they posted it on social media.
It was a turning point for Senator Warnock's campaign. At the time, you know, he was always the front runner. He was always expected to get the Democratic nomination. But he was lagging in fundraising. He was having a hard time getting his message out.
And it just put him in an even stronger position.
And he won this special election runoff against Kelly Loeffler, who branded him over and over again, this radical liberal, radical liberal. And he won it with the ability to connect with moderate voters, especially in the suburbs. Raphael Warnock, he has one of the most powerful platforms in not just Georgia, but probably the South, as the lead preacher, the lead pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church, which is Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic pulpit.
And when they hired Reverend Warnock, they hired someone who went to Morehouse like Dr. King, who pledged the same fraternity as Dr. King. He clearly embraced that role as head pastor of Ebenezer. His first time in one of those Senate office buildings was not as a senator, it was as an activist being arrested because he was protesting on health care.
He's honed this role in Atlanta's civic life as this sort of voice of conscience. He gave the eulogy at the late Congressman John Lewis's funeral.
But as his life took shape, instead of preaching sermons, he became one. He became a living, walking sermon about truth-telling and justice-making in the earth. He loved America until America learned how to love him back. We celebrate John Lewis.
He also developed a really close relationship with Stacey Abrams, and it was Stacey Abrams who encouraged Raphael Warnock to run for the U.S. Senate.
Herschel Walker's race and being able to match another black man against Raphael Warnock definitely plays a role in why he was recruited to move from Texas back to Georgia to run for this office. And quite frankly, it will help Herschel Walker pull some support from Raphael Warnock because Black male voters are more open to voting Republican than Black female voters. Donald Trump made inroads with Black male voters in 2020.
Raphael Warnock is the first Black U.S. senator in state history. And in Georgia, the African-American electorate is the cornerstone of the Democratic Party. It is the most important electoral block. You cannot win the party nomination, let alone a general election campaign, if you're a Democrat, without overwhelming support from Black voters. And that's why Herschel Walker's candidacy is so interesting, because if Herschel Walker can win 15% of the African-American vote in Georgia, this race might be over. If there's one thing I've learned over the last few months of covering Herschel Walker, it's don't underestimate him.
We've talked about all the things that could have brought his star down over the years. Allegations of not treating women well, operating his businesses poorly, his struggles with mental illness. Despite all of that, his brand remains really strong, especially in Georgia.
He has Donald Trump support, but he also has Mitch McConnell's. He's the rare candidate who can try to bridge that gap between mainstream Republicanism and the MAGA crowd.
He came from nothing, went to Georgia, made the most of that, went to the NFL, made the most of that. Herschel Walker continues to make the most of his situation. He has the it factor where he knows how to tell his story in a compelling way.
I went to one event recently, and many of the people in the audience were not his supporters, but I interviewed a few of them on the way out. They came away saying, wow, you know, I could vote for this guy. This race is going to be a real test of whether or not 2020 and the Democratic successes in Georgia were a fluke, or whether or not Democrats truly have staying power. We'll also see the extent of Donald Trump's influence.
Do they want the pastor, principled moral leader on progressive issues, or the football star who says, I'm just like you, I made it, I'm going to make America great again?
Georgia is the most politically divided state in the nation. 11,000 or so votes divided Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So we are this 50-50 tinderbox right now. And that's why this race could really go either way.
Which of these two powerful Black men do you want representing you in Washington? That's what the choice is going to come down to.
Tia Mitchell and Greg Bluestein are political reporters for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can hear them both regularly on the Politically Georgia podcast from the AJC. You can find a link in our show notes. Special thanks to SI veteran Curry Kirkpatrick for adding to this conversation. After a break, 21 long years of bad baseball in Seattle. Will this finally be the season the Mariners make it back to the playoffs?